Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So nice to see you all this morning on this beautiful spring morning. Our gospel this morning is kind of surprising, not kind of all the joyful good news that we expect from the good news, right? Jesus is saying things that make us a little unhappy, and he's talking about things maybe that puzzle us. And so we listen for the good news in all of this, knowing that what sometimes Jesus is bringing us isn't necessarily the imminent good news, but maybe the imminent news is bad news. And Father Colville will help us unpack where the good news is in all of that.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, "Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for these 3 years, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so spoiled. Every Sunday in church, we hear good news. The Arizona Daily Star can't match that. CNN can't match that. Good news. Every time we hear the gospel, after all, gospel means good news. But today I must warn you, it's a stretch for us to hear good news because our gospel today is full of bad news. Jesus refers to contemporary events in Israel, saying that the righteous may be saved, but they won't be spared hardship or loss. Then he backs up those examples with a parable that makes the same point. It's bad news all the way. But Jesus brings God into the conversation, as you might expect. So the subject is really about how God breaks bad news to us, and of course, about how we respond. You could title Jesus' remarks, "The Good News About the Bad News." How do you tell someone bad news to someone you care about? That's a touchy subject, isn't it? Any relationship will wither and die unless the people in it find ways to tell the truth to each other, including sometimes unwelcome truth. And that's also true of God's relationship with us. We're always looking for ways to take the sting out when we are bearers of bad news. Now, one way we soften the blow, we can call look at the good side. For example, on a battlefront in the age before cell phones, it used to be that standard procedure was to have a runner who moved from platoon to platoon sharing intelligence. On one occasion, when the runner returned to report, his commander asked, "Well, how does it look?" An irrepressible optimist, the runner replied enthusiastically, "We're surrounded, sir. We can attack in any direction." That's looking at the good side. Another way we soften the blow is to balance the good news with the bad news with good news. If you grew up in Los Angeles, you may remember the LA Rams football team from years ago. Sylvia's dad, Stan, played trombone in the Rams band. Year after year, the Rams had a good to great defense and only a sputtering offense. I still remember the night Johnny Carson said in his monologue, "Well, there's good news and bad news this week for LA Rams fans. The bad news is, the Rams are moving from Los Angeles down the freeway to Anaheim. The good news is, that's the most yardage they've gained in 10 years. Balance the bad news with good news. Another way to diffuse bad news we can call break it to me gently. Clergy know this technique from personal experience at the church door on Sundays after they preach. And one minister, no one on St. Francis' staff, got these responses from after the service when he preached. "You always manage to find something to fill up the time." Another said, "I don't care what they say, I like your sermons." "If I'd known you were going to be good today, I would have invited a friend." We shouldn't make you preach so often. And my favorite, did you know there are 243 panes of glass in these stained glass windows? Just the other day, a parish member, not this parish, said to me, "While you were preaching, I never made out my grocery list." She meant it as a compliment, and I took it that way. Look at the good side. Balance bad news with good news. Break it to me gently. Silly examples, but all efforts to soften the impact of bad news and to offer hope when telling a painful truth. In today's gospel, Jesus relates stories about bad things that happen to good people. That's a painful subject for us to contemplate, isn't it? We really believe that life should be based on merit so that when we do good things, we'll be rewarded with good fortune. Or at least we will be spared bad fortune. After all, in this life, virtue is rewarded, and we work hard, and we teach our kids to work hard, to achieve and gain all that we can. Jesus' own teaching reinforces our impulse to virtuous and disciplined living. The problem comes when we try to flip this belief in virtuous living, stating it in the negative. That is, if we suffer misfortune, we must have done something bad to deserve that. But Jesus is quick to deny that in the grand scheme of life and death, of good and bad, that God relates with us on the basis of merit, which is what we have earned for ourselves. Good people will be saved, but they will not be spared any of life's tragedies. In the economy of God, life is based on grace, not merit. And that may be harder for us to accept viscerally and theologically, even than Jesus' bodily resurrection. Today's gospel is the only place in all the gospels that I know of where Jesus preaches using examples from current events. These two stories, one of innocent Galileans tortured by Pilate, and the other of a natural disaster, bystanders crushed under the Tower of Siloam, could have been taken from the front page of the Jerusalem Republic. Look at those who have recently suffered and died at the hands of the Romans under orders from Pontius Pilate, Jesus says. Was God punishing them for being especially great sinners? No. Many of them were just as fine and upstanding as you and I are. But our uprightness won't save us, only our willingness to accept a little bad news. And then our heartfelt acknowledgement that we and our ignorance and sinfulness depend on God's grace. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Our repentance prepares us to accept God's grace and truly to live. There's a theme for Lent, if ever there was one. How does God's word of truth really come to us and invite us to repent and joyfully to accept the new life of grace? How does God break bad news to us so that we can hear it and embrace it as good news? Rather than guess how that works for you, I'm going to tell you how it works for me, hoping that that may be helpful for you, because it happens all around us, to all of us, all the time. I've heard God say to me, "You've been wounded by someone's accusation. You feel under attack and you want to defend yourself. Have you forgotten that when you trust in me, you're able to control your fears? In me, your spirit is safe and whole, even when your ego is crushed. You're going to be okay. You don't need to worry about self-defense. Accept my strength and respond with love. Repent." In the midst of a medical emergency, I've heard God say, "Your health is at risk. Time is short. You don't have forever. Make time now for what is important. Live every day intently and call on me to support your resolve to make healthy choices for living. Repent." God has said to me on the freeway, sometimes through a familiar voice in the passenger seat, "Who do you think you are, not giving that driver room to change lanes? You're behaving foolishly. When this isn't all about you, it's about all of us out here on the road doing our best to see that everyone reaches their destination safely. Pay attention to me. And remember that I've empowered you to live your life as ministry, which at the very least means sharing the road courteously with others, even with those who aren't courteous themselves. Repent." And in how many embarrassing times and places have I heard God say to me, "You're making a selfish choice. You've grabbed for what you don't really need and what can't make you happy just to prevent someone else from getting it. You can do better than this. Take a deep breath and hold on to me." Let's imagine a response that helps you be gracious and generous to that other person, because that's who I've created you to be. Repent. There, you've heard my Lenten confession, and I hope you'll forgive me. God knows I need forgiveness, not only for my transgressions, but also for the times I've failed to receive that bad news and hear it as good news, because that's when I perish. I wish you God's grace with your repentance this Lent. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What we hear Jesus say in the gospel is that each of us is hardened by sins of self-centeredness, by denial of God and of our own vocation in God, by our fearfulness. Each of us depends for our life on being able to hear the good news of Christ afresh as we are saved by God's grace through repentance. To recognize God's truth for us hurts for a moment. And then comes the joy of being really known and forgiven. Until we can hear those moments of truth and open to repentance and forgiveness, Easter cannot come to us. All the lilies and all the sounding brass cannot bring us to Easter without our knowing again our dependence on God's grace. This Lent, let us listen for God's bad news and welcome it as good news and repent so that we may embrace new life and share Easter. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.